إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves to go astray, there is none to guide aright. InshaAllah, اليوم نتكلم عن مصطلح المذكور في حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في صحيح مسلم، وهو المؤمن القوي. ومعنى قوة الإيمان أو المؤمن القوي في هذا الحديث، نبدأ بقصة عن سليمان بن عبد الملك، وكان خليفة من بني أمية. فكان في موسم الحج، واختلف هو وأولاده على مسألة في الحج، فقالوا ندخل الحرم في مكة ونسأل مفتي مكة، كان اسمه عطاء بن أبي رباح. وكان هذا المفتي عطاء بن أبي رباح كان عبداً أسوداً، وكان عنده شلل نصفي، تمام؟ فكان يعني الرجل يعني كانت حالته ضيقة وكذا، ولكن كان الرجل عنده علم غزير. فطبعاً دخل سليمان بن عبد الملك وأولاده وأرادوا أن هم يدخلوا في حلقة عطاء بن أبي رباح ويسألوه السؤال، فلما رآه عطاء قال له: اجلس يا أمير المؤمنين ولا تتقدم، فإن الناس سبقوك إلى ذلك. الناس اللي جم الأول يسألوا الأول، أنت جلس الأخر تقعد ورا لا تتقدم. فجلس سليمان بن عبد الملك مذهول، كيف أن الرجل يعامله بهذه الطريقة؟ فلما جاء دور سليمان فسأله المسألة فأجابه. فسأله سليمان: يعني كيف تحصلت على هذا العلم الكبير وهذه القوة العلمية الكبيرة وهذا الشرف؟ قال: بجلوسي تحت أقدام العلماء 30 سنة. فلما انصرف سليمان وأولاده قال لهم: اتقوا الله واطلبوا العلم، فما ذللت يوما لأحد إلا إلى هذا العبد الأسود، وإن الله تعالى يرفع بهذا العلم أقواما وإن كانوا عبيدا، ويخفض أقواما وإن كانوا ملوكا. هو العلمية. So inshallah today we'll talk about the meaning of a strong believer, and this word is mentioned in the hadith in Sahih Muslim. And I'm going to begin by a story from Sulaiman ibn Abd al-Malik, who was a khalifa. And one year he was in the Hajj, he disagreed with his children with a ruling related to Hajj pilgrimage. So he said, let's go to the Haram in Mecca and talk to the Mufti of Mecca, the biggest scholar over there, the big Hujja and Mullah, let's ask him. So he entered the Haram and he wanted to walk through the circle of Ata ibn Abi Rabah, the scholar at the time. So when Ata saw him pushing through the lines, through the circle, and wanted to get in the front and ask and not wait for his turn, so Ata, who was a slave and he was handicapped, he was a decent man. So Ata spoke to the Khalifa at the time, Sulaiman, and told him, sit wherever you are. Don't push your way through the line. Sit in the back. If you came late, sit in the back. Those who came first, they sit in the front. So the Khalifa was, was astonished. How come a slave like this talk to me like that? So he waited for his turn. He sat in the back with his kids. When it was his turn, he asked his question. So Ata ibn Abi Rabah gave him the answer. So then the Khalifa said to Ata, how come you have all this honor and all this knowledge? He said, I got this power of knowledge by sitting under the feet of scholars for 30 years. So when Sulaiman left with his children, he told them, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek knowledge. I've never been disciplined in my life. Nobody has ever put me in my place other than this slave, handicapped slave. And he said, knowledge is an honor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to those who want, even if they are slaves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts down those who are ignorant, even if they are kings. So now we're talking about the power of knowledge. Hadith fi Sahih Muslim an Abi Hurayra radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل فإن له تفتح عمل الشيطان. This is a very beautiful hadith. Everybody should memorize this hadith in Arabic or English, whatever your language might be. So the Prophet ﷺ says, as narrated by Abu Hurairah عنه, in Sahih Muslim, a strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than a weak believer. And there's goodness in both. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't lose hope. And seek whatever is beneficial to you. And if something bad befalls you or happens to you, don't lose hope and don't say, if I have done so-and-so would have happened to me. Because if opens the door to the whispering of the shaitan. A lot of people, when they hear this hadith, كثير من الناس لما يسمعوا هذا الحديث يظن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقصد القوة الجسدية فقط. ولكن الحديث يتكلم كما قال العلماء عن كل أنواع القوة. القوة الإيمانية، القوة الجسدية، القوة المالية، القوة الاجتماعية، القوة السياسية، كل أنواع القوة. ولو نظرت إلى نجاح الإسلام في عهد الصحابة تجده قام على كل أنواع القوة. فالإسلام قام في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على القوة الإيمانية لأبي بكر رضي الله عنه، وعلى القوة المالية لعثمان رضي الله عنه، وعلى قوة الشجاعة والقوة الجسدية لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه، وعلى القوة وتضحيات علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه. كل صحابي كان عنده قوة في مجال معين، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بحكمته وبصيرته كان يستفيد من كل صحابي بما هو مؤهل له أو بما هو قوي فيه. So a lot of people, when they hear this hadith, they say, what is meant in this hadith is not only physical strength. This is the first thing that comes to people's minds when they hear this hadith. But this is not true. It is true that physical strength is included in the hadith, but it is not the only one. The Prophet ﷺ was talking about this spiritual strength, financial strength, political strength, social strength, and so on and so forth. When you look at the time of the Sahaba, when Islam became victorious and successful at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, this was because of the spiritual strength of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the financial strength of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the bravery of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the great and tremendous contributions of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the great Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet was very intelligent, and he believed in specialization. If someone was strong in something or good at something, the Prophet would speak to them, we need you to help with this. If Bilal had a beautiful voice, we need you to do that. If Uthman was rich, we need you to help in this. Umar and Ali radiallahu anhu were strong in something, we need you to help with this. And the Prophet believed in specialization. So there was no such thing as connections or nepotism at the time of the Prophet. If you were good at something, this is the way you're going to help at the time of the Prophet. So when we talk about physical strength, of course we need it. If you want to work and provide for your family and put food on the table, you have to be physically fit. If you want to be able to do ibadah, to fast in Ramadan and pray, then you have to be physically fit. It's part of the religion to be strong. If you want to take care of your family, if you want to be a maintainer and a protector of your family, then you have to be physically fit. So that much we know. We don't have a problem with this. If you want to be able to wake up from Fajr and go through the difficulty in the winter to be able to pray Fajr on time and the cold weather, you have to be physically fit. And this is something that is recommended in Islam. But we also talk about this spiritual strength. And in ibadah kasadiyya, وكذلك ibadah imani, or ruhi. Ibadah ruhiyya, ma'na'na, الإنسان تكون عقيدته سليمة، يكون إيمانه قوي. So you have to have a strong iman as well. Because if you don't have a strong iman, you're not able to stand for anything, you will fall for anything. If you look at the reason why Surah Al-Kafirun was revealed, the Kuffar of Mecca came to the Prophet ﷺ, and this is mentioned in authentic hadith and different tafsir. They came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, look, now you are disuniting us, but you talk about the one God, respect to the slaves and the women and the poor and the needy, okay. What we'll do, if you want money, then we'll give you money, we'll make you rich. If you want a wife, we'll marry you to the finest woman among us, and so on and so forth, but we want one thing from you. Don't talk about our gods, worship them for 1 year, and we will worship you, your God, for 1 year. Then the surah was revealed, لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. At the end of the surah, لكم دينكم ولي دين. So he told them, I have, my religion belongs to me, and your religion belongs to you. This is the reason why Surah Al-Kafirun was revealed. If you want money, positions, we'll give you whatever you want, but worship our gods for 1 year, and worship your gods for 1 year. Then the ayah was revealed, for you is your religion, and for me is my religion. This is the spiritual strength. The Prophet was not ready to negotiate about tawheed, about halal or haram. This is out of the question. Don't even talk about it in front of me. When the Sahaba saw Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one day he was climbing a tree to get a piece of a branch from the tree, so the Prophet can use it as a swag. And some people saw the feet of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, they were very tiny. So some of them, they started to laugh. And the Prophet said, why are you laughing at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? They said, look at his feet, they are very tiny. And the Prophet said, wallahi, his feet are heavier in the sight of Allah than the mountain of Uhud. We're not talking about physical strength, we're talking about iman. The iman gave honor and gave strength to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, even if he was not physically the fittest among them. When we talk about spiritual strength, we're talking about sabr, for example. A lot of us, when something bad happens to them, they apply for the job and they don't get it. Or a sister is married for a couple of years, no babies yet. They get frustrated, devastated, and they lose hope in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to be physically, so spiritually strong. You have to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in Him. So this is what we mean by spiritual strength. We talk about patience in dealing with people, and this takes a lot of effort and a lot of sabr. If you talk about the people you work with, or the people you study with, or the challenges you see in the society when you go to that, how hard it is for you when you are an employee, or you go to school, how hard it is for you to be able to find a clean place to pray. How difficult it is in Ramadan to fast, and you see people around you eating and drinking all day long. I know it's hard, it's very difficult. And the reward in Islam comes in accordance with the challenges and the difficulties you go through. Now, you leave school, or you come back from work, you go home, you open the door, you go into the living room, and the first thing you see, your kids have drawn all over the living room, the walls. You know for sure that your landlord is going to kick you out, and it took you a long time to be able to find a place and a landlord who is willing to give you his house for rent, although you have several kids. Okay, you leave the living room, you go to the kitchen, the kids take the eggs from the fridge and they throw them on the floor. You go to your study, your computer is right there, and how many times you have seen this? The kids take out the buttons from the keyboard. Or they crack the monitor of the computer. It happened to me before. So it's easy for you to snap and scream and throw someone out of the window. It's very hard to break someone's neck or give them a black eye. You can do it. And there are so many reasons to do it. But this is the spiritual strength we're talking about. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ meant. The Naqat al-Hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, ليس الشديد بالسرعة ولكن الشديد أو القوي الذي يملك نفسه عند الله. The Prophet says in this authentic hadith in Bukhari Muslim, the strong among you is not the one who knocks people down. The stronger man is not the one who is physically strong, the one who knocks people down, but the one who controls himself in the case of extreme anger. How many times you come from work and, well, especially when you first get married, this happens all the time. The food is burnt. All the time. And how many times you wait for your husband, and talking to the sisters, you're waiting for your husband to come from work, and you go to visit your mom or go buy something necessary for the house, and he's 2 hours late. You call him, yeah, I'm on the way, just 2 minutes away, 3 hours, you know. And this is what they always say, I'm on the way, I'm on the way. It takes them 10 minutes from work to, I'm on the way, but it takes them 3 hours for some reason or the other. So it takes a lot of patience. Then what is meant in the hadith is also financial strength. Some Muslims think, okay, the coins that need in dunya, we don't want money, man, to live as poor, inshallah. And when we go to Akhirah, our hisab, our judgment will be just 2 minutes. I don't want to wait for judgment like for 2,000 years like some other people who are billionaires. I want to just run to Jannah. But the thing is, if you are poor, you will not be able to take care of yourself or your family or make contributions to the Muslim community. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Muslim, he said, "Al yad al ulya khayrun min al yad al sufla." In this authentic hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And what he meant in the hadith, the hand that gives is better than the hand that takes. If you look at the Sahaba, al-Ashra al-Mubashshirin bil Jannah, على الأقل خمسة منهم كانوا مليونيرين كان عندهم ملايين. If you look at the Sahaba, the thin Sahaba who got the news of Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ told them to their face, "You will be with me in Jannah." There are 10 of them at least. There are others that we don't know their names, but we know at least 10 of them. And among the 10, at least 5 of them were millionaires in today's terms. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a millionaire. Uthman ibn Affan was a millionaire. Abdurrahman ibn Auf was a millionaire. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was a millionaire. Talha ibn Ubaydillah was a millionaire. Just one example. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, when he moved from Mecca to Medina, he left all his money behind him. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him a brother with Sa'd ibn Ubaydillah in Medina. So Sa'd ibn Ubayy told him, "You know what, I want to share my wealth with you. We're going to split the wealth. I have 2 wives. I'm going to divorce one of them. You marry this wife, and I'll give you half of my money." So Uthman radiallahu anhu said, "Barakallahu laka fi malika wa ahlik, dullani ala as-suq." So he said, "I'm going to split my money with you, and you can marry, you know, I'm going to divorce one of my wives and marry her." So he told him, "May Allah bless your family and your wealth for you. Show me the markets." And he was a businessman. So he didn't bring anything with him from Mecca. And he said he worked and worked and worked as a businessman until his money multiplied like worms. So much so, when he died at the end of his life, several years later, they said he left 300 million and 200,000 dirham. That was the money left. 300 million and 200,000. Why? Because the Sahaba, they believed in political or financial strength. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ma'alimana wa yata'ala wa yata'ala wa ma'alimana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمه للعالمين. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also in this hadith, and this is what I understood from the hadith, is he spoke about social and political strength. Muslims need to get involved and Muslims need to have a say. Alhamdulillah, a lot of us, as I said before, we have good education, we make good money. A lot of us think in a very traditional way. They don't like to get involved. They don't like to be visible in the community. I know some of us, they came from countries where they had some political corruption, political problems, police brutality, and all these things. So I've seen with my own eyes. And one time I was with a brother, we were driving on the highway, and all of a sudden, in downtown, and There was a blue light behind him, and the brother almost died. He was terrified. And I told him, relax, it's only a house decoration. It's not the police car. So when we come here, we don't like to get involved in any way. I'm not talking about the majority of us, but some a sizable number of us. We don't like to get involved. We live in a very traditional way. There's like, and this is how I think about it, we have like unwritten sunnah. That Muslims in Canada, they have to live in a certain way, unwritten sunnah. So every Muslim wants to be a doctor, or a car dealer, or a cab driver, and every Muslim should have a Dodge Caravan. Unwritten sunnah. So every time I'm driving on the highway, I see a Dodge Caravan, I said, there must be a Muslim in there. Because, you know, Muslims live this way. And I'm talking about the lower Canada, I'm not talking about St. Catharines. I've been to many places, it's always the same thing. Alhamdulillah, it's good to have cab drivers and doctors and car dealers, but we also need Muslim activists. We need Muslim politicians. We need people in the media to speak for us. Every time someone in the parliament or a politician says something terrible about Muslims, yeah, Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are this or that fanatics, they know they can criticize us all day they want and any way they want because think about it this way, if you just take out the word Muslim and put the word Hindu or the word Jew, I mean, this member of parliament, this MLA, will be out the next day. And the reason they say this about Muslims is because they know we don't have a political weight. And they know that Muslims don't vote in elections anyway. But if they know that Muslims are active, and Muslims are proactive, and Muslims get involved, and Muslims have a voice, and they speak, then they will be afraid because Muslims can cost them an election. We have 1.5 million Muslims in this country or more, but most of us don't even vote in elections. We don't have people speak for us and for our problems. And this is why when something happens back home, nobody stands for our rights here because we don't talk for ourselves. Our voice is not heard in Canada and most of Europe and the US simply because we don't speak for ourselves. We're happy that someone might say something good about us in politics or in the media, but we want you to speak for yourself. We have 1.5 million in this country or more. Islam is the second largest faith in Canada, but still we have less politicians, we still have less people in the media than the Jews and the Hindus and the Sikhs put together. And we are more than all of them put together. But why? Because we're not progressive in our thinking. We're not thinking this way. We don't want to get involved. We want to stay to the side. And when I say this to people, I always get the same answer. They say, I'm going to conclude with this. Wallah, I'm not trying to offend anyone. I just want to open our eyes and to pave the way for our children to be more active and to be more effective in this country and to be successful. Because believe me, the best da'wah we can make in this country is not by khutbahs and talking, but being successful. Wallahi, people always look to the success regardless of their faith. If you are a Muslim, you are successful, people will look up to you. If you are a Muslim and you're weak, nobody will respect you. Believe me, this is the truth. And when I ask people why you don't get involved, and why every time you get a call from, or your son or daughter gets a call from a government agency, you start telling your kids, don't go to the masjid, don't pray, don't go to khutbah, and you are terrified. And this happens, people talk to me all the time. And I ask them, why is it? They say, because, you know, brother, Canada is not home. You know, we're going to stay here for a few years, and inshallah, we're going to leave and go back home with all the Musharraf and Mubarak and Qaddafi leave, inshallah. And people have been living here for 75 years. I've seen people, and they tell you Canada is not home. They live and die here. They have children and grandchildren, and Canada is not home. You have to stop thinking about Canada as a hotel. Canada is not a hotel. You are here to stay. You're not here to leave. Believe me, I've seen people live and die here, and they always think with the mentality of Canada is a hotel. Canada is not a hotel. You're not going back home. The Mubaraks and the Musharrafs and the Qaddafis will always be there. Believe me, one Mubarak leaves, another Mubarak comes. One Musharraf leaves, one Musharraf comes. This is the reality. And you have to live in Canada with this mentality. You are here to stay. So you have to fix the condition around you. Don't think about leaving back home. Because you ain't gonna leave this country. This is the truth and this is the reality. You have to live it like this. Be a strong Muslim and this is the best da'wah you can do. and this is the best you can give to your children. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعلمنا ما ينفعنا وينفعنا ما علمنا وبلغنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في سوريا وفي مصر وفي العراق وفي فلسطين وفي بورما وفي افريقيا الوسطى وفي كل مكان يظلم فيه المسلمون. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا شاب ولا شابه من المسلمين الا بالحلال زوجته ولا محروم من الاطفال الا بالاطفال رزقته. اللهم انصر المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم عليك بالظالمين فانهم لا يعزونك. واغفر لهم المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات احياء منهم والاموات انك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. واسال الله سبحانه وتعالى to give us sincerity in everything we say and do. Give us the best in dunya and the best in akhirah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower his rahmah, his mercy and grace on those who built this masjid and those who constantly maintain it. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على محمد.